The following worship service was recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Crishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan tradition in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Let us pray. Father, as we come to worship this morning, we give grateful praise for the gift of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Help us to hear your word and let it reach our hearts. We ask that you hear the prayers of our hearts just as you have heard our joys and our concerns voiced aloud this morning. Help us to live our lives in ways that others may see your love and they would seek to know you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 2:13-23. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because there were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, if you still got your Bible out, I want you to underline three different things, three different little phrases. And let's run down through here and catch them. In verse 13, he says, "And Joseph in a dream," underline dream, "and said." Dream and said. Then go with me down to verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, "Dream," underline that, "and said." Dream and said. Now go over with me to verse 22 and underline the word dream. Dream, he said. Dream, he said. Dream. Five things or three pieces. Hold on to them. I have learned as I have lived in life that how many of you have ever said, "I did not want to exactly be like my parents"? Sarah's afraid to say that. Mom's sitting right beside her. You know, my mom and dad's gone on to be with Jesus, so I can say it. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. They're looking down. So yeah. At least I really didn't want to say some of the things that my parents would say to me. But how many times have you caught yourself with the words falling from your lips and the spit hasn't dried when you could hear your mom or dad in the background going, I thought it'd stick. Well, I learned growing up that there was a big difference between hearing and listening. Hearing and listening. Did you notice my little turbo stop at the candles earlier and look at me? I had told him, light them all. All of them? I said, all. Two up front, four little guys, and the big one. Light them all. What did he do? He went here and went. And did anybody notice I was back there? So he lit those four, and he stopped again and went. He heard me, but he didn't listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Now, we notice in this passage that Joseph gets to have three dreams that are quite interrupted. I consider them interruptions. I mean, you're having a nice dream about a sunny beach and a warm day, and the angel says, get up, you know, get out of here, throw everybody in the buggy and go to Egypt. Folks, that ain't no short trip. I mean, I got news for you. Jesus was about 18 months old, somewhere along there. How many of you have traveled with an 18-month-old lately? They have the patience of a gnat and the attention span of two. I mean, how many of you heard there was a book about the terrible twos? I got news for you. There should have been another sequel, The Terrible Threes. This worse at three, but the author didn't survive to write the sequel. That's the only thing I can figure happened. But we find Joseph, he's having a nap, but this ain't his first one, remember? And he had a dream, and the angel of the Lord said to him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Remember, and she's going to have a son, and he's born of the Most High, and you're going to name him Jesus. And you know what? So it ain't the first dream. So get that in. Maybe you can back up and underline dream there, and the angel said. So we got this first one. Now, I want you to notice it. He says, Joseph, you need to get out of town. They're ticked off. It's going to be a bad deal. You need to go to Egypt. And what does Joseph do? He gets up, packs up, and goes to Egypt. Joseph don't ask. Joseph don't question. Joseph just goes and does it. Down to Egypt he goes, and notice what happens. He goes and hangs out, and bad things happened as soon as he got out of town, didn't it? Herod gets ticked, and I don't mean Herod don't get just a little upset. Herod kills every baby, 2 years old and under, every boy and girl. He didn't discriminate. He killed every boy and girl in and around Bethlehem for 20 miles. 20 miles. Jeremiah had said this would happen. Well, Joseph's down in Egypt. Now, folks, how many of you think Joseph had it easy down in Egypt? You got to remember, this is a Jewish family down in Egypt. What did the Egyptians think of the Israelites? Yeah, I know. They had them in prison down there for a long time, didn't they? About 450 years. They were enslaved, and then they left town. And when they left town, they robbed them blind. Literally. They didn't steal it. They actually gave it to them. They were so glad to get those Jews out of town, those Israelites. They called them Hebrews, those Hebrews. They got out of town. And then Pharaoh got upset about that, didn't he? Remember? He sent his army after them. What happened to Pharaoh's army? They drowned down at the creek. Washed up on the seashore. He lost an army. He lost all their gold, all their silver. So I'm going to guess that Joseph, this Jewish guy, wasn't popular down in Egypt. So finally, another angel shows up in the middle of the night. Another dream comes along. And he says, Joseph, Herod's dead. I like the way the scripture does. It says, Herod is dead. He don't get anything else. That's all the press Harry gets. He don't deserve that much, but I guess he had to tell him. He's dead. So what does he say? He's dead now. You can go back. Go on, go back. And it says that another prophecy gets fulfilled, doesn't it? And he shall call his son out of Egypt. And he goes back, and now you got to look. This one's a little different. We get down here, and Joseph's on his way back, and he hears. Now, they traveled in caravans and all that stuff, and Joseph hears that Herod is dead, but he hears Herod's son, which was not a good fella either, was now the ruler in that area. And Joseph, being warned in a dream, notice this time, the angel doesn't tell him what to do. Do you see this third one? He was just warned in a dream that Herod's son was there and ruling. So this time, the angel trusts Joseph. And Joseph decides to go to the district of Galilee to a place called Nazareth and there to raise Jesus. Because Joseph knew that the word of God said that the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Joseph was found faithful. And this, in the Gospel of Matthew, will be the last time we hear of Joseph. He's gone. When you get to chapter 3, we go down to John the Baptist. Jesus is 30, and we got all that stuff that's going to go on after that. This is the last that we find of Joseph. Joseph is faithful. Joseph just didn't hear from God through the angel, but he listened. Hearing should equal listening. I've noticed in the world today that it seems that the body of Christ is greatly divided. And I stumble on this, and I stagger with this, and I pray on this, and I'm troubled by this. You know, I don't care about the political divides. That stuff's just stuff. You got to remember that the left wing and the right wing are just opposite sides of the same bird. I mean, just think about it. You know, sometimes I think they just argue and fuss. They're split 50-50 so that they can just have us distracted while a lot of other stuff's going on. That's my suspicious nature. But I want to talk about the body of Christ. Every Christian denomination in the world today will agree that there is one God. Every Christian denomination in the world today will confess that there is one Jesus. Every Christian denomination in the world, Christian, being Christ-like, will agree on these basic 66 books of the Bible that we have. Now, the Catholics have the Apocrypha, but that's different. You can have a whole discussion on that. They'll agree, and they'll also agree that this is the Word of God. And for thousands of years, from the Old Testament to the New, we have agreed on its interpretation. It has stood the test of time. I've studied old dead people, you know, that had translated this thing from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and now my mind goes blank, and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a great orator and also biblical scholar, and the list can go on. And we've agreed on its interpretation. We get down to that. And we can even agree on the Ephesians passage. Most of us should know it by now, that Paul writes, for there is one God, one Jesus Christ, and one Holy Spirit that's in you all and through you all. Carrie and I were just, I told her, she didn't know this, when we were praying last night, this is one of her prayers was, why are Christians so divided? And she had no idea where God had led this sermon. I didn't tell her either, because she might have stayed home, you know, and said, I done heard it, so I know what it's all about. I know the punchline. But it's amazing to me that what I find is the divide in the Christian community, the divide in the Christian church. You won't believe this, but I have churches in Rock Springs, Wyoming, whose pastors say, I'll call you, we'll get together, we'll have coffee. There has not been but one pastor in this community made that phone call in 8 years. Donna and I sent out invitations to them. Do you remember that? Way back when I first got here, not a single reply. The first Wednesday of every month, I meet with an interfaith group, and we clergy meet around that table, and I hear the same thing. I'll call you. Let me get your phone. Let me be sure I've got your, no emails, no phone calls, no text messages. And those of you who know me, it stays with me, you know. Now, I have a lot of other stuff that goes on that I have to take care of, but none of that. I can't figure that out, but I do know why. Does that upset me? No, not really, you know. It makes me wonder. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about why there were so many Christian churches? No, not really. It's kind of like we can shop for the one that fits best. It's kind of like going and trying on different clothes, you know. Find something that's comfortable, we'll hang out there for a while. Nah. Get to it, preacher. The problem is there's a lot of hearing going on, but very little listening. In the Christian community today. Folks, I'm not talking about lost people. I'm preaching right to us, right here. Lost people are going to do lost things. A drunk that don't profess Jesus. Do you realize I got cussed out more before Christmas this year than I have ever been in my... I got called an MF fake preacher by one woman because, Ethel, I wouldn't let you go buy her beer. She was not going to have beer for Christmas. She wanted groceries. Anyway, that's another story. Lost people do lost things. I don't expect different. But in the Christian community, we have lost the art. Our whole culture has lost the art of having a conversation. We don't listen anymore to understand. We listen to respond, to get our jab in, to tell them what we think, to give them our opinion. We don't listen anymore to understand something. And here's my rule. You get two shots when you enter into this conversation. And I get this all the time. I get it from unbelievers, and I get it from some Christians, claim to be Christians. They'll say to me, how do you know Jesus is the only way unto salvation? I said, because the Bible says so. John 14:6, plainly Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto the Father. And they like to throw at me, well, how do you know that to be true? Because I believe the text. Well, man wrote that text. That's it. You had your two. You see, you can make that argument all day long, but you didn't bring anything to the discussion. I can do that, how do you know, how do you know, how do you know, all day long, but that didn't put anything in the argument, did it? So I stop them. I say, you had two. Now, if you don't think that Jesus is the only way unto salvation, why not? Prove it. Most of the time, they get mad and leave the conversation. But if they don't, it becomes a conversation. Instead of listening to respond, and to tell them what we think. Men, I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to save you more headache and heartache than you, and you're going to wish I'd have told you this a long time ago. When a woman is telling you about her day, don't try to fix it. Just listen. Best thing you can do is go, I love you, honey. Let's go out to eat. Don't fix it. Don't listen to respond. Don't do it. You're in trouble. Does anybody already know that? I think it's unanimous. The problem in the Christian church today is people are not hearing the Word of God. They're not centering on the Word of God. They're not hearing. They're not listening. Most Christians agree on the major points of the book. Most Christians agree on them. Then why is there disunity in the body of Christ? Because they have heard what they wanted to hear. They have taken it. And even today now they're saying that what we have believed, that this Bible has said for thousands of years, they've decided was all wrong. Was throw it out. It didn't really mean that. It didn't say that. And they have really started tearing down and tearing up the Bible and saying it didn't say that stuff. But I am concerned that what is happening is the Word of God is being farmed by Christians. Now I want to ask you a question. What if Joseph had not have listened to that angel? He wouldn't have taken Mary. He wouldn't have named him Jesus. He wouldn't have had him baptized and circumcised on the eighth day according to the traditions. He would have died in Bethlehem when Herod killed the babies. No Jesus. You know, he was fully human. Joseph did have a choice. He didn't have to listen. What if Joseph had told that angel, said, I ain't doing it. I'm staying put. This baby's just now out of diapers, and I ain't trying to travel with this little urchin. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to inconvenience myself. I'm not going to do what you say. I want to be here. I want to be where it's comfortable. I already got a job. You want me to leave my job? You want me to drag this little kid and my wife? You want us to go down? I mean, I'm already here. We've already had this baby, and I've had to make ends meet up here. What if Joseph had to come up with his whole litany of very valid excuses? By the way, excuses are never valid. Reasons are. Excuses never are. Excuses just trying to cop out, cheap out, and get out without any accountability or responsibility. So what if he had done that? Then Jesus would have been killed, would have been over, would have still been in our sins. No Savior, no Redeemer. Jesus is fully human. He was nursing off his mama's breast just like we did. But because Joseph listened, he left, the prophecy, the Word of God was fulfilled. It was horrible. All those kids being killed, folks, don't take nothing away from that. That had to be the most horrible thing ever being done. I can't imagine somebody being that cruel, that mean, that spiteful. That I can't imagine it. To go out and they literally took these kids out and cut their heads off and put them in wagons to prove that they'd killed them all. You see, it wasn't just enough for the soldiers to come back and say, we did it. They had to prove it. Now Joseph's got down there. He's in Egypt. He's been down there about 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years. Jesus is about 6. He's down there. He's hanging out. He's kind of made a way. He's kind of figured out the lay of the land. There's some other Jews down here. We kind of made some friends, buddies. All of a sudden, the angel comes along again. Here I am, first grader. I got to take him and go back. What does Joseph do? He listens. He loads up the wagon, and guess what? Another prophecy of God is fulfilled. By Joseph's faithfulness, more prophecies of God are being fulfilled. More of God's plan is being fulfilled. And he shall call his son out of Egypt. And now we get up there, and Joseph gets another dream, gets a warning. And this time he says, we'll go over here, Mary, and we'll go. We're still on our way. We just take a detour, and we'll go over here, and we'll go to this little place called Nazareth. Because I know that the Word of God says that he shall be called a Nazarene. Joseph was righteous and faithful, and he listened. Why is there disunity in the body of Christ today? Because Christians don't listen. How many commandments did he give us? Some of you were in Sunday school. 11. We got 10 big ones, right? What did Jesus say about those? What is the greatest commandment of all he said? You ain't been listening. You ain't been reading or something. It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Upon this, all the law and the prophets hang. If you do that, you don't violate any of the old stuff. But I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, may you love one another. By this alone they will know you are mine, that you love one another. That's the big one. That's the one. That's number 11. That's the one we've got. That's the one's given to us. But he doesn't say you have to do it alone. He says, I am with you always. Now, I want you to get your book out, and I want you to get your hymn book. I want you to turn to page 13. You're going to do this next week. A lot of people says, well, I got to love like he loves. How did he love us? Turn to it. You hear this all the time, but you don't listen, I bet you. How many of you know what it says on page 13? How many of you remember what it says? How many of us have listened? You see, here's the problem with the Lord's Prayer. Here's the problem with this communion liturgy. We just go through the motions. We don't really even hear it anymore. We certainly don't listen. Look what it says. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with God and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Slide down to the bottom page. In what does it say about Jesus next? Huh? Just go back up just a little more. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. I say that. I've said that for 30 years. You know, and how many of us have listened? That's the great commandment number 11, right? Isn't that it? To love as I have loved you. That proves while we were yet in our sins, Jesus loved us. He didn't wait till we got it right. He didn't wait till we got it our way. Or even figured it out. Why? Because he knew that we would need him to get it. Now run over to Matthew 28, last verse, 28th chapter of Matthew. You're on a Bible hopscotch. I'm hurrying. Not really. The very last verse, Matthew 28. If you had your Bible and had it open, you wouldn't be far from it. Like maybe 10 pages, and you'd be right over there. Matthew 20, last verse. All power is given to me under heaven and earth. Right? Got it? What does he say to do? To go and make Christians, right? Nope, disciples. Whew. Man, Christians are not so good, but disciples are wonderful. So go and make disciples. And do what? Baptize them and what is it? What else do you do? Teach them what? Whoa, wait a minute. What was that word? Say it louder. A little louder. I got a little trouble hearing. Some of you ain't speaking up. Obey. Obey every suggestion he made, right? What does it say? Obey what? Commanded, not suggested. He commanded. You folks, you need to understand, he said a new commandment, not suggestion. There was 10 daddy gave you, and I'm giving you one more. The problem is Christians hear it, but they don't listen. Listening implies that we would do it, that we would love our neighbor, that we wouldn't interpret the Word of God to suit our purposes and our plans, that we would humble ourselves, that we would follow God's lead, God's teaching, and God's purpose for and in our lives instead of gold mining this thing. You need to understand, the devil will bless you right out of a relationship with God. He'll bless you with fame, fortune, and all the stuff, and bless you out of a relationship with God. However, if he's blessing you, you know what you could do? You could be a little wily e coyote. You could use it. How much influence would popularity get you and sharing your Christian witness? Telling people about your faith. Oh, wait a minute, you got to have it first. You see, there are very many people who think they've got it. but don't. And they will find out they didn't have it. So how do I get it? Hear and listen. My daddy told me I had good ears, and I do, by the way. If you don't talk about me, you need to get off the property, because I'll hear you. My daddy said, son, you got good hearing, but you don't listen for nothing. I got many a whipping for not listening. Not for not hearing, but for not doing. Church, the divide in the church today exists because Christians are not living in submission to God's will, God's plan, and God's purpose. Christians are stiff-necked and rebellious. They don't tithe, they don't attend, they don't participate, they don't share their faith. Well, Pastor, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Why? What's this all about that we do on Sunday? Just to come and hear me walk around up here and make jokes? Now, this is about Christian fellowship. Well, I really don't need anything. You see, we put God into the Band-Aid Brigade instead of the transplant. You see, he's about giving us a new life. But we give them a Band-Aid Brigade. It ain't about what you get. It's maybe about what you can give. I'm going to be doing a lecture series in February on suicide and life after death. And I'll let you know where and when and all that stuff. In my ministry, I have done either right at or one over 300 suicide funerals. And that's a lot. I've done several since I've been here. And I've talked to survivors of suicides for the last 40 years. And do you realize that sometimes it was only one word that somebody said that changed their mind? One word. One word. One word. Church, we come together. There may be somebody in our midst that needs that one word. They need that one smile. They need that one handshake. They need that one hug. I'm not telling you go around hug everybody. That fixes it all. But that's why we come together. We don't come together because we've got it. We come together because we probably need to give it. Sometimes we need to receive it. But we need to learn to not just hear the Word of God. You see, the Bible isn't about us bending it to our will and purpose. And that's what's being done with it. The Bible is about bending us to His will and purpose, that His will be accomplished. I would pray today that we learn the difference between just hearing and listening. My friends, rest assured we will be held accountable before our God in love and grace. I personally do not want to have someone's soul that is lost on my account because I didn't listen. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Pastor, what a way to end the year. Well, I'm going to shake it up, folks. We're going to kick this horse, and we're going to follow. Somebody that I had respected greatly had said something that's caused me to stir and think. They said that evangelism, Christian evangelism, died in 2016. And the implication, of course, was that Trump was elected president. And I thought, oh, was me. If a man can stop the will and work of God, aren't we in trouble? Pastor, I'm struggling with just some of the stuff you've talked about this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you pray for me this week? slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I really want to, I want to do more than just hear. Pray for me this week. You see, the last slice of that verse, the last verse of Matthew was, go and preach, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. He didn't call us to go it alone. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our gracious and loving God, let us be witnesses for you in what we do, in what we say, how we love, and how we listen to you. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May God's grace and peace go with you. May you go to hear and to listen, to serve and to care and love for those around you in whom God has placed you into their lives. And truly, may God's grace, peace, and mercy go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.